Welcome to One Man's Opinion, brought to you by the Elite Fantasy, Fantasy Guru, and EliteSportsBetting.com. And now, here's your host, Jeff Manns.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is One Man's Opinion, the podcast that continues to sweep the nation. Episode 202. We've got a lot to cover today. This is post-NFL draft. Get your football on, everybody. The season is here. It officially begins. Get ready for it. Here it is. Because if you're not ready for football in May, I don't think you're ready. Don't just try to slammer back in come August or September. By then, it'll be too late. There'll be way too many items. This is not the year to be a Johnny come lately, everybody. So we'll get you started right here today. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for liking, subscribing, favoriting this show, this episode. We appreciate you guys doing that so much. Remember, hit that subscribe button. I really greatly appreciate that. All that stuff helps a lot. Remember to support our sponsor, RTSports.com. They just launched their brand new home run derby pools. Everybody, get over to RTSports.com. Use the promo code FantasyGuru, all one word, and boom. Pick up those home run showdown games, everybody. We've got analysis for you over at fantasyguru.com, and they have those contests running every single day of the Major League Baseball season. So all you have to do is pick the home runs. Boom. That's it. Pretty easy. Just a home run pool, and you could enter it for as low as a dollar. And I think they go all the way up to like $109, if I'm not mistaken. So get over there and support our guys at RTSports.com, please. And thank you. Remember, that's a place to play DFS for those of you who have been struggling, maybe in DraftKings or FanDuel or any of these other sites. RT Sports offers a lot of great contests season long and daily. So make sure you head over there as well. If you're wondering how the hell you got to this podcast, well, welcome in. My name is Jeff Manns. You can hear me weekday afternoon, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87 on that platform. I host a show called Elite Sports from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on that network. I am also the part owner and chief content officer over at fantasyguru.com. Still got our 50% off VIP Platinum package available to you now. Get over there, fantasyguru.com. Get over to the VIP section, VIP Platinum, and use the promo code 50SPECIAL, 50SPECIAL. That will get you 50% off of that content package. It's actually good for the monthly, too. If you don't want to pay whatever it is, $300 for the entire year, then you want to pay bi-monthly, that's fine, too. Still get the 50% off. So get over there. Try it out, check it out, and enjoy all the great content. Remember, you're going to want to be with us during the football season. It's almost foolish at this point not to, but you might as well get VIP Platinum because you get all the baseball, all the NBA playoffs, all NHL playoffs. You get all of our programming. We've got like 50 podcasts over there exclusively at fantasyguru.com. We've got live streams. We've got data, an entire data suite. And again, all of it, all of the content is not found anywhere else. We've got bets for every single event, every sport from WNBA to horse racing. Our guy Slappy White is a tremendous Kentucky Derby cheat sheet out for you as we speak. And that's all included. It's the reason to get the VIP Platinum. If you are a regular NFL subscriber or member, strongly consider upgrading and doing it now. Get yourself a little extra before the football season starts. I think it's a smart idea just to pad your bankroll. Listen, football season's wild. We want all the action we can. Why not win a little bit before? Even if it's $20, $50, $100, $10,000, whatever amounts you're playing, right? You might as well get your accounts filled for the football season. Then we could just blow it all during football season, right? That's the way it will go. Now, we've never had a losing football season, so you will not blow all your money, I promise you. FantasyGuru.com, folks. And join the Discord. Get into that Man's Cave Discord room and say, hello, hey, I'm new here. What do you guys got? Join our community. It's the largest active community in fantasy sports. And Our community is the best thing that we have going. I hope you like this content. I hope you like the podcast. I hope you like all of our team members over at fantasyguru.com. But really, it's all of you. It's the membership that matters. It's a great community, always helping each other. Do we fight from time to time? You bet your ass we do. By the way, this is an uncensored podcast. I'm going to say the dirty words. I am going to completely take a shit on your favorite politician or maybe religious figure or your favorite actor or singer. I don't know. I don't know what I will do, but I'm going to speak like humans speak, and I'm not going to be scared to do it. And thus, if that's not for you, if you're one of those people that just want to go complain, there's nobody to complain to. So you might as well just turn off the show. Thank you for listening to the few moments you did. And Avita Zane, we'll see you on the flip side. For the rest of you, yeah, I'm going to say things like fucking shit and bullshit and asshole and all that great stuff. All the fun words that people do say. We're going to talk a lot of NFL draft today. As a matter of fact, it's the season, like I said, is officially here. By the way, follow me on social media at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm everywhere you need me to be on social media, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, it's going to be hot and heavy NFL today and the foreseeable future. Definitely going to talk a little bit of baseball when I can. I mean, Mike Trout goes down with another fucking injury. Are you kidding me with this guy? Like, dude, Mike Trout is going to be one of the greatest examples of all of our lifetimes that this dude just didn't have it. He is, there's not even a possible deniability of him being a ridiculously amazing baseball player. That's not even a question. Question is, he just can't stay healthy. Torn meniscus, out for weeks. Yeah, he'll be back this season, but he's just going to get hurt again. It's constant. It's unfucking believable with this guy. I mean, he has not played a full season since 2016, right? He did play 140 games in 2018. So I'll give that one to him. So let's say since 2018. Guys, that's a long fucking time, right? I mean, that's 6 years. It's a long time. Where were you 6 years ago? All right. I mean, good Lord. So, yeah, we'll talk baseball when it comes up. Happy to answer baseball questions whenever you guys got them. Post them at Jeff_Manns on Twitter or in the Manns Cave Discord room or our baseball Discord room over at fantasyguru.com. And I'll happily oblige over there. So we sit here at the start of May and it's funny. It's football's on the mind. Football's hot. Football's heavy. The NFL draft went off very well. I thought it was a fantastic event once again. Although I will say I can do without. I'll give you guys a peek behind the curtain. I did 14 hours of radio in 2 days, including 4 hours of pure draft coverage, both Thursday and Friday during the NFL draft. I didn't do the Saturday coverage. Had stuff to do on that Saturday, but glad I didn't. I needed that little break. Still followed, obviously, every single pick. I've got updated rankings. I've got dynasty rankings, rookie rankings, Superflex dynasty rankings. It's all live, fantasyguru.com. But, you know, big behind the scenes, it's fascinating to me that, yeah, I do the coverage. And number one, no matter what I say, please understand, I have nothing but the most respect for my colleagues at SiriusXM and the people I did the draft coverage with and the management and all them. And I'm not saying that just to say it. I do like these guys. I think it's a great broadcast. I will put our coverage of the draft against anybody. And that's kind of where I'm going with that. I want to know honestly from all of you, hit me up wherever you can. Did you enjoy the NFL draft coverage? I'm not talking about the picks. Of course you like the draft. Everyone likes the draft. Even the people say, I don't like the fucking draft. You like the draft. You tune in. They draw numbers, 700,000 go to the fucking event. Everybody likes the draft. All right. To one way, shape, or form, whatever. But I'm talking about the coverage. Because after I was done, here's the thing. So I got frustrated a little bit. All right. I got frustrated on my draft coverage. I thought it was, you know, it's tough to work with a group of people in that, you know, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. And for instance, like I had the Chicago Bears. I've been obviously grew up in Chicago. I'm a Bears fan, yada, yada, yada. But beyond my fandom, it's the number one pick. It's the number nine pick in the draft. I think the two of the, if not the single top two most iconic picks in the history of that franchise, the oldest franchise in the National Football League. And I didn't get to comment one time on either pick. Not one time. That's a little frustrating. It's fine, you know, no big deal. But, you know, that I also don't think that. So I was a little frustrated during the broadcast just because obviously I have studied these motherfuckers, every player drafted. I've seen, I know what their stupid faces look like. I know what they look like in pads. I know what their grade point averages were, what they majored in college. Every one of them, every fucking person. Oh, no, I shouldn't say every person. There are a couple of weirdos that like from Saskatchewan or fucking British Columbia in Canada. And I'm like, oh, shit. A couple of guys were off my radar. So I shouldn't say everyone. 99.9%. But again, I have something for everybody. And the one thing I noticed on the broadcast, and then after our broadcast, I went out and I had to recalibrate everything for day number two. And I watched the NFL Network. That's what it was. NFL Network coverage. Rich Eisen, I'm not sure he's even interested in football anymore. Rich Eisen likes Michigan. He likes Run Rich Run, and that's a great event. And St. Jude is my heart and soul. So I love everything about that event. But he's not at all. He has no idea. I mean, I'm talking no idea who these players are. I think Charles Johnson is very good as far as an analyst is concerned on that panel. I thought the analysts were pretty good. But, I mean, they didn't offer much. The NFL draft has become a place that's so popular that everybody tries to promote their shit. They're absolute garbage. They just wedge all these fucking things into the event. And it has just gotten so clustered. Truth be told, I think it was the number 11 pick, if I'm not mistaken. No, it was the number 10 pick when the Vikings were up because they traded up. They had 11. They moved up to 10. And they moved up 10. They chose McCarthy. But we go to when we were on radio, we go to the commissioner. And the commissioner, you know, we throw it to there. When the commissioner walks up, then he passes it up. He introduces somebody else who introduces somebody else. And this time, it was one of the most heartbreaking stories you ever heard. As a little boy, or a kid who had cancer and a survivor in that. And he announces the pick. And then that's the one they went to me. I didn't get anything on Roma Dunze. I got to go right after the cancer kid thing. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? How do we even think about it? How do we even think about football? You know, I'm like, is this really the time and the place for this? Again, I'm all about them announcing the pick. I'm all about Make-A-Wish Foundation. I mean, I support wholeheartedly. And it's not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to be honest. This is not what we're tuning in for, man. Like, that is a real, like, you know, that takes you out of the event. It takes you out of everything. You start rethinking your fucking life. And I just like, what are we doing? Why do we have to go to Australia and Antarctica and all these different places to announce a pick on terrible delays? Why are we doing this nonsense? It's so fucking weird. It's just gotten so weird. Do you know what I think? And again, after I watched the NFL Network stuff, I actually went because I had taped ESPN's coverage. And I give Mel Kiper some fucking credit. At least he talks about the players. Like, can we just... ESPN was probably the better one is talking about the players. Again, I had copious amounts of notes about all these
guys drafted. And I had scouting reports. I broke down film. I could tell you anything about any of them. And yet we're sitting here and they're throwing this guy who's in, you know, in Great Britain, and he's saying this, and then he's throwing it back, and there's a delay, and then there's a pick, and then we got it sponsored by, and then we got, okay, we got to go get our chicken nuggies from Raising Cane's, and oh, by the way, this guy had a heartbreaking story as well. It's like, God, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how these guys fit on their football teams. I don't know. So you tell me. What do you guys think of that event, the way it's been going? Would you rather, because I'm making a strong push, I'm trying to, for our next year coverage, just let's just talk about football, man. You know, if you got a great story that hasn't been recited 18,000 times, that's awesome. That's awesome. But, like, my notes was Olu Fashanu, as we had no idea. He's never been called Fashanu until draft day. But he was teammates with Caleb Williams, and I thought the Bears would be in play for him at 9. And once I learned, though, that every person alive knew that, that immediately got crossed off my sheet. I'm like, all right, that's out there. Everybody knows it. No problem. No big deal. I'll talk about what he majored in school. I'll talk about his hand placement. I'll talk about something else. You know, no big deal. But can we just make it about football, please and thank you? I don't know. That's the way I feel. Let's go through the teams that did the best. How about the winning teams or the winners and losers from the draft overall? I think the winning teams, Arizona Cardinals had themselves a day. You get top-end players like Marvin Harrison Jr., and you're setting yourself in a great spot. Buffalo Bills did tremendous. The Chicago Bears had the best draft. The Roma Dunze pick, y'all are going to have to get used to it. The Bears are here. If you are one of those people, I've already run into them on social media. If you've been one of those players for whatever, it's been a weird thing. Again, maybe I never knew that as a Bears fan, like the outside world, some of people don't like the Bears. And I knew Packers and Vikings fans, right? That kind of shit I know, but it's weird. This is you're barking up the wrong tree. This is a bad idea. This is not ending well, right? Trying to be like, the Bears, same old Bears. That's not going to work. Okay. I grew up in an era where the New England Patriots, nobody fucking knew they existed. I mean, on earth, nobody knew what a New England was. No fucking person. Only people who know anything about New England were upper East Coasters, right? Nothing below Philadelphia knew what the fucking New England was, right? And that was like that through the fucking 2000. Then this guy struts to town, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and the rest is fucking history. Now they're the crown. They're the top of football. They were the top of football. Now you fired them. You got rid of them. And like what happens in life, the world spins. And now the butthole of the league is the New England Patriots, probably the worst team in the league. Right? And that's the way it goes. But you have to be prepared, though, emotionally and mentally, I think. And you got... What the Bears have put together is fucking astounding. And picking a Dunze is a choice I never thought they would have the guts to make. I didn't think Ryan Poles had the balls. I didn't think he had the intestinal fortitude. I thought he'd be a giant pussy, just like he was last year when Jalen Carter was on the board. Oh, I'm going to address my defensive edge rusher. No, fuckface. You get... If you are in the quarterback business, you get your quarterback weaponry. That's what you do, you absolute fuckface. And what did they do? Oh, by the way, get the kids out of the room. I think I'm late telling you that. But I already told the insensitive people to fuck off, so take it for what it's worth. Get ready. The Bears are here. They're one of the better teams in the entire league right now. It's gotten that quickly. Top 6 offensive line last year, a top 10 defense last year, and second half especially, the number one cornerback in football in Jalen Johnson, the best rookie corner, Tyreek Stevenson, in football. The edge rushers now, by the way, they went out and got one of the better edge rusher, fourth best edge rusher in the entire draft. They got him in the fifth fucking round. I don't know how they did that. In Austin Booker, then you get a quarterback and you get DeAndre Swift and you get Keenan Allen. You have DJ Moore and you get Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet, and you already have Khalil Herbert. And now you get Rome Odunze. It's like, holy shit, this team's fucking stacked. Fucking stacked. It's a bummer that they're in the same division as the Detroit Lions, because I think the Lions have the best team 1 through 53 in the NFC, but I think the Bears are right behind them. Right behind them. So, I thought that was an interesting development there as well. So, Bears were a big winner. Green Bay Packers, another Packers didn't do anything flashy, but hot damn, they are still good, right? They're still fucking good. By the way, in case you're wondering, I want to do this before, but remember the Bears got Keenan Allen, you know, for, a fourth round pick, yikers, right? So that fourth round pick, the Chargers then traded that to New England for Javon Baker. Okay. You know, whatever, bro. Whatever you got, man. You know, do your fucking thing to get your guy. It's fine. Javon Baker for Keenan Allen is basically what it all went down to. You know, so I think that was pretty fascinating to me. Other teams that won big in the draft, Pittsburgh Steelers. Just Pittsburgh continues to stockpile talent, rebuild. Somehow they rebuilt while also winning. It's unheralded for most organizations, but the Steelers do it very, very well. I thought they had a tremendous draft. They solidified that offensive line in a major way, getting Fatano, getting Zach Frazier, two immediate internal alignment, and then Mason McCormick in the fourth, which is a small school kid, more of a prospect or a project, but a guy who nevertheless a top 10 interior lineman, got him a pick 119 overall. And they get their replacement for Deontay Johnson, Roman Wilson, who we'll see. Peyton Wilson, I mean, imagine the luxury to add Peyton Wilson, one of the best linebackers in the draft, albeit, you know, no ACL in his knee. The injury, how long he can go, we'll see. But he's got T.J. Watt and Patrick Queen. I mean, what a tremendous situation to step into. So those were the winners. The big asshole losers. There's nobody as shitty as the Atlanta Falcons. I don't give a solid fuck what you think. But the Atlanta Falcons fucking sucked this draft. Thank you, by the way, because as a Bears fan, to see Michael Penix Jr. go, when you're waiting, like, you know, Rome Odunze is going to go off the board. You see that heap of shit. How fucking stupid do you have to be? Honest to God. Hey, guys, I know a majority of our audience is a male, but even ladies, go ahead and bring your replacement wife home to meet your current wife and be like, yeah, you know, we're just going to hang out. Or boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, whatever, husband. Just bring, that's a good idea. Yeah, bring, what's the worst that can happen? Worst that can happen is everybody dies. That's the worst that can happen, you fucking numbnuts. That is, it's not even the, for those trying to defend it, it's not even the drafting of a quarterback, which, yes, that is still stupid. Anybody they would have got Caleb Williams. It wouldn't have mattered. It was a stupid, stupid idea. But at the very least, don't draft a 24-year-old, four-time injured guy that has to wait at least 2 to 3 years now before Kirk Cousins is done, at the minimum. Right? At the minimum. A left-handed guy, a jump ball, deep ball guy who's different than Kirk Cousins. Everything is different. It's not even the same. You're not even in the same lineage, right? It's such a bad idea. God, that was the worst fucking. And then Ruke Okoro is equally as bad. That was a big reach, a defensive tackle. Like, it's not even like None of it was good. Orohoro was my number seven defensive tackle on this fucking board. And they got the third pick in the second round. I mean, what a terrible choice. So this was about as bad of a draft as it gets. The best pick they made was at running back, where they already had two. Jason McClellan's the best back on this board, on this pick, best pick that they got. Maybe J.D. Bertrand. That's not bad in the fifth round. But holy cow, were they bad. Again, this is what the Bears did last year. It's what the Lions did last year. This is a team scared to win. Atlanta was scared to win. Now, the Lions obviously still won games. Bears didn't till the end. But I mean, when you're not equipped in the front office to make a play, to draft a better player, this is the kind of shit you're left with. Tennessee got an F. San Francisco, a lot of people fight me on that. When they got an F, the Raiders got an F plus. For what it's worth, those are the losers of the NFL draft. So there you go. Those are my grades. They're all posted over at fantasyguru.com. Talking about that, let's go with, you know what I want to do? I trying to find a new way to analyze it. Let's go round by round. I will tell you the best pick and the worst pick of each round. Fair enough? First round, the contenders for best pick are... like Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. I think that Malik Nabers at 6 is good. Roma Dunze at 9 is excellent. After that, Bowers at 13, but I don't like the fit, so it's not really the best pick. Getting Dallas Turner at 17 is pretty good for the Vikings. Moving up to get him, Amarius Mims is an amazing gift for the Bengals at 18, too. Jared Verse is a replacement for Aaron Donald at 19. That was another really, really good one. Terry Arnold for the Lions. best corner in the draft, or one of the best corners in the draft. I had him as the best corner. Getting him at 24, most excellent there. I like Xavier Leggett a ton that the Carolina Panthers jumped up to get at 32nd. I will say it's Roma Dunze. I think Roma Dunze has a chance to be the third best. He's a chance to be the second best receiver in this class. He's got a most likely to be the third, but he'll get overshadowed most of his career by Marvin Harrison Jr. But Odunze is such a class act, such a good kid. He's got all the skills in the world. And he's going to a situation where, because their draft cycle, because the flight out there, because of draft night, all this stuff, Caleb Williams loves this dude. This is the new power couple of the National Football League. This is on the level of a Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, right? They weren't teammates in college, but it almost feels like they were, right? Kind of does. I will say it's also the best pick in the draft because it's the Bears, for the first time in their history, drafting Caleb Williams didn't take any balls. This one took balls. This one said, you know what? We got two receivers, but we're getting a third. We're going to get Caleb all the weaponry possible. Best pick of the first round, Roma Dunze. The other guys are very, very good. Worst pick of the first round, Michael Penix, of course. Let me throw one other pick out there. I'll say it, Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is garbage. A garbage pick. The only reason he got picked is because him and Brandon Ayuk went to school together at Arizona State. And Ricky Pearsall is from Chandler, Arizona, who, you know, that is out by me. And he is just kind of garbage. He isn't special in any way. You know, it just not a special player. He's rail thin. He's smaller than it looked like. Got smallish hands. Run well, jumps well. Didn't put up any kind of monster numbers ever at school in any of the systems he played in. It just the only hope is that, well, he's going to San Francisco, so maybe he's going to be good. As if San Francisco is just going to keep producing those players. And I got news for you. Pearsall may be okay in year one. And then when Ayuk is gone, good fucking luck. That guy, there's no chance of him being on the outside. No chance. So I think that was the second worst pick of round number one. Round number two, the best picks, the ones in contention. Listen, I loved Keon Coleman going to the Bills. Loved his post-game news conference too. That one was absolutely fantastic. I never talked about T'Vondre Sweat very much. I love that pick. Tavondre Sweat, I'll get back to him in a second. Cooper DeJean, I thought was a very, very good pick there as well. Jackson Powers Johnson for the Raiders is a very, very good pick in round number two. Patrick Paul to the Dolphins. You know, I had hoped that would start an offensive line domino effect for the Miami Dolphins. Unfortunately, I never got to that. Javon Bullard, that was a bummer for me because the Packers took him at 58 overall. That was a great fucking pick right there. And then I like the Chiefs' selection of Kingsley Suamatatawa from BYU, an offensive lineman. Another guy is just a powerhouse, very smart kid with massive power that, you know, protecting Patrick Mahomes. So those are the ones I think that are in contention. I'm going to give it to Cooper DeJean, though, as far as the best pick of the second round. You can't fit a defense better than the cornerback from Iowa. Cooper DeJean loves to play up. I think based on the talent they already have there and the fact that they drafted Quinion Mitchell in the first round, you're going to get DeJean playing the slot, which means from the slot, you're going to see him blitzing a lot, bringing those sort of edge blitzes behind it. You'll see that. And you'll also see him tag along to some move tight ends. You're going to see a lot of different things. He'll play up in the run game where he likes to hit. It's just perfect. It's the perfect get. So Tavondre Sweat, for those who don't know, when you look at defensive tackles in college football, the majority of them, like a defensive tackle, remember when William the Refrigerator Perry came into the league, 1985? He was 308 pounds, 310 pounds, but everyone called him lard ass and the refrigerator and all that. But then something happened across the league. 300 plus pounds became defensive ends, let alone tackle. Like everybody was 300 pounds. Vince Wilfork, remember him? All these big bodies you used to play in the 3-4 setup, that two-gap interior tackle, they're all gone. And they're replaced with Byron Murphy II, Johnny Newton from Illinois. These guys are all like 6'2", 285. Like all of a sudden, it's back to 1985 playing weight, which is just peculiar. Tavondre Sweat is 375 plus pounds. That's 6'5". This dude is a hoss. He's also a fucking maniac. This guy was known for his partying in school, always threw parties, big ass drinker, got in trouble 17 times in school. I'm sorry. It's seven times. My bad. Seven times in college for drinking, partying, and everything else. Right? Seven fucking times. And what happens a month before the draft? DWI. Oh, this guy's a fucking maniac. But, dude, you want to talk run-stopping players? Here's a little FYI. We do not want to play running backs against the Tennessee Titans. You've got Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, Sebastian Joseph Day. They have three defensive tackles amongst their three defensive linemen. That's going to be wild. Now, are they going to be able to rush the passer? Probably not. They're hoping that, like, getting Legarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie, they're hoping that that pays off for them in the passing game. Interesting philosophy, but they've got a lot of beef up front in Tennessee. So I think that was a fascinating pick to me and one that I've not mentioned anywhere else. The worst pick for round number two, I mentioned Ruke Orihuro up in that as well. I think another one. Well, if you factor in what they gave up, Braden Fisk from Florida State to the Rams, after taking Jared Verse, get Fisk. Now, I get what the Rams are trying to do. They gave away an ass ton to get Fisk. So if we factor that in, I would say that's a problem. Otherwise, it would probably have to be, I guess, Mason Smith. I mean, Mason Smith is a what? Jacksonville Jaguar. What? I don't know where that pick comes from. at all. Like, I just don't really get it. He is a 300-pound defensive tackle, but he's 305, small hands. He does have the long arms, which on the interior you don't necessarily want. It's like he's a more of a pass-rushing defensive tackle than he is anything else. He had an ACL tear. He's had shoulder injuries. Yeah, I don't really, not immensely powerful nor immensely quick. I don't really like, I think Mason Smith, just a kind of blah pick. I like Chris Jenkins, who went one pick after him to the Bengals. I like that selection a lot more. Round number three, a lot of good picks. Trey Benson to the Cardinals, that I liked a great deal. Junior Colson goes to his coach, Jim Harbaugh from University of Michigan. Going to play off-ball linebacker there in L.A. for the Chargers. Good get there. I loved Cooper Beebe. The Cowboys didn't draft their primary need, which is running back, but they drafted three offensive linemen, which was smarter than that. The offensive tackle from Yale. The Bears made a really good get there. I can't pronounce his last name. DJ, but the dude's from Hinsdale, which, by the way, so I'm from the south side of Chicago. Hinsdale is a southern suburb in Chicago. It's what we call the rich part of town. I once dated a girl that lived in Hinsdale, the rich part of town. I wasn't allowed in that part of town. So he's very upscale. He went to Yale, but this dude, lifelong Bears fan, tweets about the Bears every single year. And he's a hell of a good tackle. He's obviously very smart, but he's got all his massive long arms, ginormous frame, his footwork's a little sloppy, but he's strong. You know, all the athletic traits that you want to see out of an offensive tackle. And he goes to his hometown team that he's absolutely in love with. What a great get by the Bears again, but don't worry. That will not be my selection. I'm not going all homer. Matt Goncalves as well. Another one, that one goes to Indianapolis Colts, was a great pick. Roman Wilson by the Steelers was a great pick. Mentioned the replacement heir apparent to Deontay Johnson was a real good one in there as well. I do think the Ravens, Adisa Isaac, I was not a fan of his. I'm glad nobody else was either. He was in contention for the first round and fell to late in the third round. I thought that was, how about Luke McCaffrey to the Commanders? Pick 100, last pick of the third round. Pretty good little pick. Luke McCaffrey, he's a McCaffrey brother. We have to take that in consideration, right? He is a wicked, crazy athlete. The thing about Luke McCaffrey is he played quarterback until his sophomore year of college. And then after that, you know, lost the QB game or lost the QB spot at Nebraska. So then he went to Rice and sort of transformed himself. He played quarterback his first year, I think, at Rice, and then he transformed in the middle of it to wide receiver, and he was like, all right, he put up pretty good fucking numbers. Kid who's just learning the road. Hard workers, all the traits of Christian McCaffrey and his dad, Easy Ed McCaffrey. I kind of like that pick a lot, too. All right, so I think ultimately for me, the best pick of that third round, though, was Cooper Beebe. Went 73rd overall to the Dallas Cowboys. Going to be their starting center. Kansas State product. And my third highest ranked interior lineman to get him 73rd overall is pretty fucking good. That's a great. The worst pick of round three. A couple of them. Caden Wallace is out of Penn State. I thought it was too much of a project to take where the Patriots took him at the front part of the first round. Malachi Corley, small school kid who not a ton of, talent that he played with or up against, not a polished receiver, much more of a better ball runner than a receiver. He's going to be a gadget player. Right? A lot of teams had him on the board as a running back. He is undersized, but kind of thick up top. He's Xavier Leggett without the hands, Malachi Corley. And I just didn't like, for the Jets at that point, Jets had a good draft. That one I just did not quite understand. Other bad picks, you know, this gets to the, I thought the Packers going Marshawn Lloyd there is not ideal. It's smart to back up your franchise guy, but you pay Josh Jacobs a shit ton of money. It's not a terrible pick, but it's also kind of a questionable one, in my opinion. And then Jalen McMillan. How about Jalen McMillan for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I'll put that one as one of my worst ones. Like, he's a pure slot guy. I'm wondering if they notice something with him to take him out, because he was kind of buried with that Washington team. But I think Odunze, Jalen Polk, I think all of them were overdrafted based on the system. Odunze's got translatable traits, though, whereas McMillan doesn't. You know, so I don't know. I just didn't get that selection. So I'll go with Jalen McMillan to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as at pick 92 is the worst pick of that round. Round four, Troy Franklin to the Broncos. Listen, I wasn't a big Troy Franklin guy, but when you are able to pair up the college quarterback with his main receiver, and we can't deny the amount of production that Troy Franklin put up in that Pac-12, right? It was just unprecedented. He's a good physical specimen at 6'2", 4'4", 39-inch vertical. But I love the pairing him up with his college score, and it's a great one for the offense. Troy Franklin's going to be the Michael Thomas of this Denver Broncos offense. And he's doing it with a quarterback that he's very used to seeing the ball at and had some of his best years with. That's a brilliant move. That move to get, and especially in the fourth round, that makes Bo Nick's selection suddenly worth it. Devontae Walker, I love him. Holy shit, to the Ravens at 113. I absolutely love Devontae Walker. He is very different than Troy Franklin. This guy's a ball grabber. He's a ball grabber, touches his balls. No, he goes up and gets it. He is exactly what Lamar Jackson has always needed for an X receiver. Always. This is what he needs. Moves a Flowers inside, play a lot of two tight end setups with Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews, and put this guy on an island out wide and let Lamar Jackson throw it up to him. He'll come down with it. Don't you worry. Mason McCormick had talked about pick 119 for the Steelers. Another great get right there. Ray Davis I like with Buffalo. I had a much higher grade on him. He went way later. Guerrero from Louisville to the 49ers, another one. TJ Tampa. Boy, on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, when I say the best picks of this round, I said TJ Tampa and Devontae Walker. So I won't use them here in there, but I just know that I love both of those picks. So the choice I guess I would make for the best pick of this, I'll go Troy Franklin. I didn't use it last time. I think that's the overall best pick, though, of the draft. There are some shit picks in this one. I got to say the Bears picking a punter. Torrey Taylor is best punter in college. That's great. Here's a fucking cookie. Who cares about the best punter in college? Nobody cares, right? Now, if you're an analytical person, and this is why you shouldn't be an analytical person, because I don't think most of us understand analytics, it doesn't tell us anything real. By analytics, Torrey Taylor, him on the Bears, gives the Bears two more wins. Two. If he was on the team last year, the Bears go from 30... there's a lot of punters in the NFL, but 37, there's only 32 teams. They were dead last, 37th punter. So upgrading the punter position was a necessary one. And if they got a massive increase, it could really help them, give them an extra win potentially on the season. But two more wins puts the Bears in the playoff last year. So again, I don't agree with it. I think it's garbage and shit pick, but I understand what they were trying to do, right? It's like the Michael Penix. I understand what you're trying to do, but you did a 45-year-old, four times injured player. It's fucking garbage. But the real worst pick is Sione Vaiki. This was awful. Like the Lions drafting a gadget player. I mean, every sense of the word gadget, 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 right? This guy doesn't have a position. He can't really play anything. He's just kind of out there, right? He's a cornerback. He's a linebacker. He's a running back. They selected him as a running back, which I think is just shit. Absolutely fast. He's 4.62 speed. I don't know what he is. Sione Vaika is fucking terrible. It's a terrible pick. And I know the Lions are still loaded, but that never get an excuse for a shitty pick. Make your draft picks count, people, fantasy or reality. Round number five, best pick in round number five. I like JT Bertrand a lot for the Falcons to get him on the interior. Very good. The Bears getting Austin Booker, though. Oh, boy, am I going to have to be. The Bears had five picks in the entire draft, and four of them were amazing. One of them was dog shit. I'm not going to choose Booker as the favorite because it's, I don't want to be that fucking guy, but that's a great fucking pick. When your comparison is Max Crosby, something's right. I don't know why he lasted that long. That was silly. Just silly. Audric Estime, fantastic pick for the Broncos. Oh, I shouldn't say fantastic pick. He's slower. He's a big, bulky guy. It's great for fantasy purposes because Estime is going to be the lead back. I think Javonte Williams will be relegated to third down work. I think Samaje Perine's on the back burner, maybe even released. And I think McLaughlin is all of a sudden and also ran too. So Estime is the guy to own in fantasy football for the Denver Broncos. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. by the Eagles. They traded back up to get him. 155 overall. I'm a tremendous fan of Trotter Jr. as well. One of the best off-ball linebackers in this draft as well. Tyrone Tracy at running back. Not great from a, I think he went about where he should have went, but to go to New York, he's going to have a chance to compete for the actual lead job over Devin Singletary. I love Jordan Travis. The Jets, I didn't understand that Malachi Corley pick whatsoever, but I get what they're doing with Jordan Travis. Give him a year behind Aaron Rodgers, and you may have something. Undefeated quarterback, should have led his team possibly to a national championship and not for the injury. Tremendous, absolute fucking slam bang pick for the Jets at that spot, which was pick 171 overall. So the best pick of this draft, I will go I'll go with, I don't want to double up on a team. You heard all my best picks right there, right? I mean, you know it. I'll say it's Jordan Travis. Give the Jets some love. I think they deserve it after, you know, taking a, it, you got to be sensitive around Aaron Rodgers. You can't, you know, what happened when they had fucking Aaron Rodgers, they drafted Jordan Love. He flipped the fuck out on him. So as an organization, you got to be very careful and tiptoe around that situation. The worst pick of round number five, I'm not a Spencer Rattler guy. I'll throw Spencer Rattler out there. I don't hate it. I get why you do it. At least, you know, you didn't pick it. It's not wasting anything bad. I didn't like that pick. I don't like Jamari Thrash either from Cleveland Browns. Cleveland does not. You know what? No, I'm sorry. It's not Spencer Rattler. Jamari Thrash is a fucking awful pick by the Browns. Browns had needs, not at receiver. You have a million wide receivers, you absolute dumb fucks. Terrible. Oh, I like Muhammad Kamara a lot too, Miami. Dolphins got a good edge rusher pretty late in this draft. I mean, that to get Kamara at pick 158 overall, that's a hell of a get. He was my eighth highest rated pass rusher in this draft. I'll go quicker. Pick or round number six, best picks, worst picks. Best pick, Kamani Vidal from Troy to go to LA Chargers. Kamani Vidal is the number one running back on the depth chart. He is J.K. Dobbins. What do we say? We do not draft Achilles torn running backs. We don't ever do it. Don't even think about it. Don't even consider him. Wipe him off your draft board. Kamani Vidal will play ahead of Gus Edwards in LA. That's a tremendous pick. I love that one. I love Malik Washington to Miami. Malik Washington's a great dynasty stash for the next couple of years. He's the heir apparent to Tyreek Hill. He's never going to be Tyreek Hill. I don't mean it like, oh, you just fill in. No, he's not going to be that, but he will be the number one receiver. He's going to be a massive PPR guy in this league in Mike McDaniel's offense. So I love those picks the most. Worst pick of this round, Dylan Laub. What are they doing? Raiders need a running back. Dylan Laub? What are you doing? What are you doing? What is that? It was a dumb pick. By the way, Ryan Flournoy from Southeast Missouri State to Dallas. I like that play. I like that player and that fit quite a bit, everybody. That was round number six. Round number seven, to polish this off, the best picks of this one. I thought the Chargers did a good job getting Brendan Rice in there from USC, the number one target for Caleb Williams. I think that was a solid, very solid pick. To be sure, I thought that Jono Lualau from the Indianapolis Colts from Oklahoma, big interior defensive tackle. Again, some teams paid second-round capital for that. Lualau got in with pick 234 in this entire draft, which I think was a tremendous bring as well. The worst pick, it's hard to say the worst pick in the seventh round because these are all very deep prospects. I'll say that there are better undrafted free agent wide receivers than what the Chargers brought in with Cornelius Johnson. That was just, hey, I'm a Michigan kid. He obviously wasted that draft pick to just bring in a Michigan kid. You know, so that's kind of, you didn't use him in college. I don't know why you would use him in the pro level. So that's the worst pick. All right. Shit, man, I'm running out of time, everybody. Don't want to keep you guys that long. I will say that let's get into my dynasty picks. I want to do my dynasty rankings for y'all here as well. Remember, these are live, fantasyguru.com. This is I have Superflex rankings for those that play Superflex Dynasty as well. You can get over to the site, fantasyguru.com right now. And remember, if you get the VIP Platinum Package, you get football too. Otherwise, our football package is not on sale. The only thing that's on sale is the off-season package, which is franchise mode, which will give you the rankings. That's only like $30. So you can get that if you want, but you're going to want the draft guide. You're going to want DFS. You're going to want betting. If you're not into that stuff or not in a state where it's legal, then makes sense. So get over there now. You get my super, my rankings and our entire team consensus rankings as well. Let me talk about that, because that's the other thing about the NFL draft that bothered me. Number one, I'll get into my rankings in a second. You can't do projections. We do this thing where we do projections while the draft is going on. You guys know you can't do that, right? And I don't mean like you shouldn't. I mean, you can't. Who do they play in week four? Who do they play in week 11? There's no schedule. We know the teams that they will play. But if you're doing projections that aren't based on actual game flow, expected game flow, if you're not doing it, when you're not projecting differently when a running back is coming off of a Sunday game on a Thursday, and if you're not allocating towards that, you're guessing. How can we do projections without a fucking schedule? You don't know who they're playing, when they're playing, where they're playing. There's overseas games. There's bye weeks. That's another reason. If you start drafting right now, I think you're okay. If you were drafting before the draft, you are fucking brain dead, man. And I shouldn't be saying that. It's bad for business, but I don't care. I don't want people. It's a fucking crapshoot. You're going to draft all these players and they're all going to be off the same week. You're like, oh, I'm fucking dead. You can't win in best ball if you get all your guys off in a week. Can't win because you will sink even the best team. It will be in the dirt. You have to be consistent in best ball to win in overall. You have to be. Remember that, please. Good. That's something that bothers me. Like, all right, here's my projection. For what? Projecting what? I just didn't understand it. I never will understand that. I shouldn't say it. I understand people play that way. I wholeheartedly disagree with everything about it. You can't project when you don't know who they're playing or when they're playing. So those that don't know, over at fantasyguru.com, I don't have projections out. I will. As soon as the schedule's announced, I think it's like May 12th that they're doing that. I project based on every game. It's very important to me to match the teams up, to go through thousands of simulations as I do. And again, are they perfect? Absolutely not. I know they're not going to be perfect. There's going to be injuries. All these things are going to happen. But at least I understand that when two fast-paced teams are playing against each other, they're just going to score a little bit more points. And when two slow-ass teams that podunk and run the ball and run out the clock play each other, I know that the clock is going to burn and the production is going to be limited. At least I have these ideas. You can't have that idea until the schedule's out. Bottom line. All right. My number one player is Marvin Harrison Jr. of the Cardinals. That's pretty obvious. Malik Nabers is too. That's pretty obvious too. These are dynasty franchise changing selections. These, both of them. I think Malik Nabers in a redraft format. I've got Malik Nabers 25 right now going into it. And I have Marvin Harrison Jr. 16th. So a little bit of a difference there, but in dynasty, again, I'm keeping them forever. Malik Nabers is going to be Brian DeBall's weapon for as long as Brian DeBall's there. And whatever coaches the Giants next and whoever's the next quarterback, they're going to love Malik Nabers. Nobody will not love Malik Nabers, period. Rome Odunze is my number three. There is a logical reasoning to fade Odunze at three and go with somebody else if you're in a position of need or you need help right now. Odunze will have some big plays in 2024. He is entrenched to Caleb Williams. So he will be a producer this year, but it'll be on a smaller scale. You will need a Keenan Allen injury, really, or DJ Moore, of course. But that's what you need to have happen. After this year, Keenan Allen will be a free agent. I doubt the Bears re-sign him, depending on whatever. Odunze will slide up, and then it's home run theater. But for now, he's going to be a very good three. And I'm willing, in a dynasty, I'm willing to wait for it. Just like Hamilton. Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Caleb Williams is four. If you need a quarterback, there's never been a quarterback placed in a better situation. Of all the great prospects ever in football, none of them have been placed with surrounding elements like Caleb Williams has. And you've never seen that level of a prospect. And Caleb was far from perfect prospect. Far from it. But you've never seen that caliber, that high end, dropped into a better situation. It's worth our considerations if you're in a one QB league even. Keon Coleman is five for me. Buffalo Bills. There are a copious amount. There's an absolute insane amount of targets available. 241 targets, 152 receptions, 1,929 receiving yards, and 15 touchdowns available, up for grabs in Buffalo. People are arguing with me. They say, well, it's going to be Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid already had that, dumb fuck. Dalton Kincaid already had that production. Dalton Kincaid had 91 targets, 73 receptions, 673 and 2. If you want to tell me Dalton Kincaid's going to go for 800, 900 yards and 6, 8 to 8 touchdowns, okay, that's cool. Totally, yeah, all right, that's the ceiling. He's not going to catch more than 85 balls. That's not happening. He's not going to get 120-plus targets. So he will take a little bit off of there, fine. But either Khalil Shakir or more likely Keon Coleman will be the breadwinner there. I think there's a path that Khalil Shakir is a monster, is a fucking monster. Everyone's expected to be Curtis Samuel, but I think it's going to be Shakir. They are ready for him. Third year of his rookie deal, a guy who the coaches love, Josh Allen loves. He's proven himself. He's made big catches in big situations, tremendous growth from year one to year two, and the true possession type receiver. And then Keon Coleman's going to be that massive body down the sideline that Josh Allen needs. An alpha out there on the perimeter. tremendous. Get Keon Coleman. Jaden Daniels is six. I like his landing spot in Washington, a good deal. I think Terry McLaurin, for those who don't know Jaden Daniels' game, both Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin are in tremendous situations. The reason is both of those gentlemen, those receivers, are very good contested catch guys. Dotson had a miserable year. I don't know what to make of Jahan Dotson's last season. It was bad. A lot of drops. There's no other way to describe it. It was just a bad season. But he's got elite ball skills too. And Terry McLaurin's a guy. What Terry McLaurin needs, somebody to get him the fucking ball regularly. That's all he needs. He doesn't need anything else. And Jaden Daniels will do that. The good thing about Jaden Daniels is he will throw it up and expect his receivers to make plays, just like Brandon Ayuk did at Arizona State his first year, just like Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. did at LSU the last two. So that's what he expects, and dagnabbit, that's what he's going to get. So know that, and I think it's going to be – it's a huge, huge upgrade for Terry McLaurin. Right, I almost said Khalil Shakir because I got his Khalil Shakir is fourth in the National Football League in contested catch rate, by the way, last year. Just an FYI. Like, yeah. One ahead of Tank Dell. Not bad company, right? No, I mean, I would say that's pretty good company. Ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah, pretty good. For those who don't believe in that. But Terry McLaurin was up there as well. So Terry McLaurin, great contested catch guy. And I like him a great deal with Jaden Daniels. Brock Bowers is seven. I really didn't want Bowers to go to the Raiders. I really didn't love the pick from the Raiders. Obviously, I gave him an F+. At least they got an impact guy. But with Michael Mayer looming around and Devonta Adams being there, I don't love the immediate impact of Brock Bowers. Good thing for him that the tight end position just kind of stinks. So he's a top 10 tight end. Worth the seventh pick in the dynasty, but temper your expectations. Jonathan Brooks, Carolina Panthers, first running back. I have him at eight. This is a guy I don't think will be ready to go at the start of the season. If he is pleasantly surprised, he'll win the job. He's the only running back guaranteed to win their job right out of the gate. He'll be the alpha in the backfield for Carolina whenever that happens. Carolina did improve their offensive line too. So if you're in, I don't blame you. If you're in a one QB league and you're set at, you have Mahomes or Allen, Hurts, Lamar at quarterback. So if you wanted to put Jonathan Brooks higher, I wouldn't hate you. And you need a back. I have no problem with that. I would not put him ahead of Odunze. I would not do that. And then Keon Coleman, I wouldn't put him ahead of Coleman. I'd put him one spot behind Coleman. If you were just like, I don't need a tight end. I don't need quarterback. So Brooks there. Trey Benson is right after him at nine, running back two in Dynasty Arizona. You're going to have to wait a year for Connor to break down. Connor will break down this year, though. That's the good thing. You always count on James Connor getting hurt. So that's not an issue. Trey Benson, again, another team that hit on an early round offensive lineman too, right? So that's one of those things where you look at they got somebody to stretch the field. They got somebody in Marvin Harrison Jr., a true alpha commander out there. And then, they came back and got Isaiah Adams in this draft to improve and Christian Jones in this draft to improve their offensive line. You already got Paris Johnson out there. So Cardinals, low-key, pretty good spot for Trey Benson. So I got him nine. Xavier Worthy's 10. Xavier Worthy versus Xavier Leggett. I like Leggett better as a player, but obviously it comes down to Kansas City versus Carolina. The thing with Worthy, I do not expect him to ever be a number one receiver in fantasy. Never. I don't know if he's ever a wide receiver two in fantasy, but I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the guy who gets Patrick Mahomes over his entire career. The speed is real. The after the catch ability is real. That's great. The upside is tremendous, obviously, in this offense. So I'll side with that for Xavier Worthy over is Xavier Leggett, who I have at 11 right behind him at wide receiver 6. 12th, the end of the first round, Drake May, New England quarterback. I think May, highest floor of all the quarterbacks drafted, but again, it's a shit show. New England's going to be the armpit, the asshole, the butthole of the NFL for a long, long time. It's going to be a while for them to dig out of it. And without Bill Belichick bailing it out, that's going to be a problem. So those are my top 12 other players. I've got Kamani Vidal very, very close. I've got Ray Davis ranked up there. Audric Estime ranked up there. Bo Nix, Tyron Tracy, Devontae Walker, Troy Franklin, all very, very high on my board. Malik Washington higher than anybody else would ever anticipate. Isaac Guerrero higher than anybody would expect. I'm much lower on Marshawn Lloyd and Jalen Polk. Adonde Mitchell, I don't give a shit about. Michael Penix Jr., not a single turd do I care about. But if you want to know those rankings, get over to fantasyguru.com. Trust me, we got you covered. Dynasty, any format of fantasy sports you play, any form of fantasy football, we are ready for you. Jump into that Discord, say hello. 25,000 member strong, one of the greatest communities you'll ever get, and you'll up your game as a result. And say hello to me, join the, you know, jump into that man's cave, tag me and say, hey, Jeff, I'm here, listen to the podcast, appreciate you, yada, yada, yada. Again, support our sponsors, rtsports.com, Home Run Derby Contest, the only thing like it, the only site in the world that has home run only tournaments for daily fantasy baseball. How great is that? Shout out to our guys at rtsports.com. Play DFS every single day in the Major League Baseball season. They'll have plenty of football contests. They'll have plenty of NBA playoff contests still. They have PGA contests every single week. Use the promo code FANTASYGURU, all one word, 50% deposit bonus on there. Even if you're a current member, if you're a redeposit, you still get the bonus of 50%. Pretty sweet thing for our guys at rtsports.com. Remember, they're the ones that always host our Elite Mafia Fantasy Football League. So please support them who support all of us. Follow me on social media at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky. Get over to fantasyguru.com. Get that VIP platinum package. If you like what you hear on this program, please support us over there. Use the promo code 50SPECIAL. That's the number 50, then special, SPECIAL, all one word. And you get the seasonal. You can buy the whole season at a discount. You can get the monthly, whatever it is that fits your budget. Join the community, the Elite Mafia, baby. You will not be disappointed. That is going to do it for episode 202. It's all beginning, ladies and gentlemen. It begins right now. This fantasy football season will cover you throughout the NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball season. But man, football is back and I'm pumped up. This is one of the biggest seasons. This is the biggest turnover we've ever had in fantasy football ever. The most offensive players ever drafted early. So many. Nobody's safe. Every player. You thought that Kyren Williams was safe. He's not safe. He's not safe. I'll talk more about that next week's episode. But yeah, be careful drafting Kyren. Be careful drafting all these studs you thought were no-brainers. Not so much anymore. All right, folks, that's it for us. Big thanks to my producer, Sean Engel. Does a tremendous job week in and week out producing this show. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you. Hit that like button, favorite, subscribe, hearts, whatever it is that gives it. Give us commentary, things you liked, things you didn't like. Be honest with your evaluation, folks. Always looking to get better here on this program. You may disagree with some or, I don't know, every motherfucking thing that you heard on this motherfucking show. Right? Told you it was uncensored. But it's okay if you disagree. Why is it okay? Because this is just one man's opinion. See you next time, everybody. Deuces!